Well, Lowry, you're now alone in the office. Kimon has left you to your thoughts, and his ultimate fate is up to you, at least as far as employment goes.
I think I'd like to call Kevin McDonald.
Sure, you get out your phone and dial him up. He answers and says, well, if it isn't freeze frame, to what do I owe the call?
Well, Mr. McDonald, I just wanted to touch bases with you on what we were discussing earlier, the program to rebuild our manpower.
Absolutely. Let me get you the address to one of our local facilities. I'd like to give you an introduction to something amazing. How soon can you be there? We should have a pitch ready by now.
Oh, well, I could be there right away.
That's good. No point to delay an opportunity. That's good business sense. I'll meet you there in an hour. And he hangs up.
Okay, go fetch Flux.
So what are we doing about Kimon?
I told you, he hasn't broken any enforceable laws yet. We can't do anything. But we can take steps to reduce his influence in the company and lower his profile. In fact, that's something I think we're about to do. Would you like to come with me for a corporate meeting?
Oh, okay. What about?
Well, McDonald says he's got an idea to flesh out our super roster, and I'm keen to hear it. At least for now. You have to admit, anything is better than trying to play nice with Kimon.
I just don't understand how Captain Momentum ever decided to bring him on.
Captain Momentum used to get sentimental. He always wanted to talk everything out, do things patiently. He complained that going on the attack led to people getting hurt for no reason. It was like a gentle giant complex, I guess. I think maybe he hurt someone with his powers when he was younger, and he spent a lot of time compensating for the guilt.
Well, that makes sense. But I mean, you'd think that he would have seen the harm caused by leaving people like Kimon alone.
He expected himself to be able to work through those problems. Look, that was then, but this is now. We don't have to put up with this forever, and we're not going to.
All right.
Let's go.
You guys hop in the car and drive kind of down towards the coast, where a lot of cheaper corporate zoning is at. The address you've been given is to an unremarkable facility with a chain-link fence, and the facility has the name Upper Works written on the entrance sign in block lettering. It's clearly not a business selling itself to the public, and would only be noticed by truck drivers going up and down the industrial roads it's built next to.
Is this the right place?
Well, I assume it's an R&D facility, not a corporate headquarters. Facing isn't exactly their big priority.
You park the car, approach the front door, and it looks like it requires a badge to be let in. There's a button to ring security, however. You press it, and a voice says, "Hold on just a minute, Mr. McDonald is on his way." True to promise, after about a minute, Kelvin McDonald answers the door, accompanied by two bodyguards. Sorry we don't offer a warmer welcome here, but this building isn't exactly open to the public, so we don't have a receptionist. Please, come inside.
What exactly do you do here at Upper Works?
Well, as you know, in today's business environment, everything is about mergers and acquisition. If you aren't expanding, buying your competitors, or being bought, then you are failing. As a part of this natural process, my company began investing in scalable super technologies.
Scalable?
That's right, scalable.
As in, like, mass production.
Well, not mass production. Not yet. But we're focused on harnessing or taking advantage of superpowers in a way that can be transported over to an ordinary person for daily use. In fact, my company was behind the development of the weapon that killed Captain Momentum. However, that is classified information. I share this with you as a sign of trust, and I'm not at liberty to discuss any details about the project.
I saw some of the data on that gun. I mean, that they gave us, and also the stolen data. It had something to do with using Luna's blood as ammunition to simulate her powers?
As I said, I can't discuss specifics. However, this does lead me to a primary issue with scalability right down this hall, please. Now, what makes this study of superpowers difficult is that no two superheroes are alike. Even if they have very similar powers, they manifest in different ways. The path of least resistance is to do as you have, Mr. Elvis, and create technology which amplifies abilities that are already present in an individual. We could spend a lifetime trying to understand exactly how your teleportation powers work, but then, at the end of that lifetime, you would be dead. And the next person we find with powers like yours would be doing it in a completely different way. Your suit is useless to that person. Millions of dollars in research down the drain for us. The suit is only useful to yourself. And now we don't have a product to sell.
Well, my suit certainly didn't cost millions of dollars. I mean, it was expensive, but I was able to pay for it with a few grants.
My company provides those kind of grants. Elvis, your supersuit was made possible by my own charity.
I didn't know that.
Well, you'll find the check was written under a different company name, and you won't find this company, Upper Works, on hardly anything. It's all a complicated weave of subsidiaries, franchises, and legal horse crap. Rest assured, however, at some point, it all returns to me.
Okay, I know that you said you can't discuss the gun that depowered Captain Momentum, but are you still working on that project?
Once again, between you and me, and because I know you have some clearance, Larry, keep this off the record. The project is a dog. The government is interested, and we have a contract, but in the long run, it's got no legs. The fact the prototype was stolen was a major lapse in security somewhere. We've had to go through an endless amount of paperwork and purging as a result. But that gun is so useless that it now no longer matters to me that Mercury has it.
I'm actually not certain of that, sir. Based on our investigations, it looks like Mercury has been trying to reverse engineer the weapon so that he can make use of it in the future.
Well, la-di-da. My company has also been doing exactly the same kind of research, but legally and with better funding than Mercury could ever get. And the only thing that we've concluded is that the gun requires Luna's blood to operate, and that blood eventually goes sour. It was dangerous when Mercury first stole it, but within a week the ammunition went to pot. And everyone involved in the project knows there's nothing more he can do with the gun.
Well, but sir, he's trying to figure out how to create a synthetic blood.
That's exactly what my company's been trying to do. Do you think we like having to regularly go to Luna Island to extract blood from a lady being held in maximum security while keeping the process classified? It has been a nightmare. It's no wonder security leaks emerged, and it's no wonder the gun got stolen. Using Luna's actual blood is impractical. It's also essential, and there's no synthetic alternative. That's why the gun's a dog. That's why it's going nowhere. Imagine you have to respond to a supervillain, but before you can even begin, you have to secretly extract blood from a woman nowhere near the incident. How's that any better than shooting a maverick at whatever the problem is? Hell, we just had an incident here in New Jersey, Delphia that required military intervention, and it was still faster to send in a helicopter because they're on hand and they move quickly.
But still, sir, I don't know if we should rule out Mercury or rest on our laurels.
There's no way he develops it any further than we have. And isn't this scientist dead? Is Masterson guy? That had to have been the man who leaked out everything, and now it's a non-issue. And I tell you, this, if he develops a reliable synthetic alternative with which to fire that gun, if you can steal his formula and show me how he did it, I will pay you any sum of money you want for those plans. Name it. Billion, 2 billion, it's immaterial. That breakthrough would be worth the cash. It would change society as we know it. Have you actually seen anything that implies he's close to that kind of capability?
Well, no.
That's right, because it can't be done. But that's not why I asked the two of you to come here today. I'm not here to sell you on a gun that can disable superpowers. That's not the future. The future, at least for our lifetimes, is democratizing superpowers. McDonald scans his badge and leads you into what looks like a firing range. There's a few men in lab coats present. Waiting at attention is a man in tactical gear, and he's wearing a helmet with a tinted visor. McDonald says, "This is what I want to show you." "Unit, what is your designation?" The man replies, "This product is designated COG Zero, sir." McDonald asks, "And why are you here?" COG says, "Please clarify the question, sir. It's too broad." McDonald says, "Why were you arrested?" "I killed my wife, sir." "And how did that make you feel?" "I was angry at the time, sir. I regret it now, sir." "What project are you currently involved in?" "I can't discuss the project, sir." "I grant permission." "They're calling it a prisoner rehabilitation, sir. Community service. I'm helping with research and development into a sort of mind control helmet, and in return, I'm being offered a reduced sentence, and I'm not required to stay in a prison facility."
A mind control helmet?
Well, COG doesn't understand the details, except incidentally, but thank you, COG. But, remain silent until I give you permission to speak, or I speak directly to you.
But how?
I'm so glad you asked, because I'm prepared for this. It's been quite an endeavor. Now, as you might be aware, superheroes with psionic powers are exceptionally rare, and they are also taken quite seriously by every government in the world. Show even a shred of telepathic potential, and you'll spend the rest of your life on hundreds of lists, being followed by spies of all agencies who frankly want you to know that you're being watched. Throughout history, these individuals have always been important when they appeared, even at their weakest. Consider it a testament to my personal resources that I have one under my employment. Nothing reminds you that you possess more wealth in the average nation than having a scion on your payroll without having them pried from your fingers. Now, of course, this is also only possible thanks to the grace of our United States government, who approves of what I'm doing with them, but I digress. Our particular scion isn't producing mind control, exactly, but instead what we refer to as a nullification of personal awareness, or NPA for short. When subjected to the scion's power, the patient fundamentally forgets who they are and their motives, and are open to suggestion from anyone at all. However, once you explain to them that they're only to take instructions from specific individuals, that loophole closes, and you can begin issuing authorized commands from that point forward. Or even transfer ownership as simply as informing the subject that they're to accept commands from that new owner.
So is this guy's mind just completely blank now?
No, legally speaking, wiping someone's mind permanently is considered the same as murder. This effect normally wears off, but you're about to catch the beauty of our unique situation. we discovered that our Scion could apply this Blanken effect to a computer.
What do you mean to... That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't work exactly the same. Also, it casts a certain amount of doubt on what exactly it is the Scion is or does, or if our definitions even matter. Until recent history, we haven't really been able to test the abilities of telepathic individuals on computers, because they didn't exist. Obviously, computers don't have minds as such, but then organic minds do have electrical currents.
They're different electronic currents, though. Humans work with potassium and sodium channels, for example, and computers just don't.
You're correct, they don't. However, we found that our Scion was capable of inflicting a blue screen of death on computers or being otherwise disruptive to electronic functionality. Eventually, someone realized that perhaps the effect was being stored in the computer somehow. And we got to work and created a system that would accept our Scion's disruptive ability as like a storage, and then a second system that can open or close a gate to broadcast that effect outward. We then placed that system in a helmet. McDonald slaps on Cog's head. Normally, an NPA would wear off in 12 to 24 hours, sometimes less, though it varies case by case. However, we found that we can gradually release a stored NPA from the helmet directly into a human individual, prolonging the effect of the NPA over time to about a month within only one helmet. That's about the longest we can go with an ordinary person and still have them wear the helmet comfortably, but if an individual had super strength, for example, they could wear a bulkier helmet with a greater amount of storage, and you'd likely need a replacement far less frequently. As you can see, we've lucked into something so providentially lucky, I can only assume that God himself intended us to have it. And the death of our Captain Momentum may have been our sign from him that it's time to move forward on this project into genuine field testing.
Is this legal, though?
Sorry?
Actually, Flux does raise kind of a point. There has to be issues with liability here. I mean, it's a bit like owning a police dog. If it bites someone, the police officer in charge of the dog is considered responsible. If we used a criminal as part of an experimental police unit, I think it's safe to say that we'd become responsible for any mistake or performance problem.
I mean, is it legal to brainwash someone?
Well, I already told you, it's not brainwashing or mind control, it's an NPA system. And our lawyers have looked into it extensively. Normally, yes, using psionic powers to control someone's actions would be against the law. Falls under coercion or worse, depending on what you made that person do. However, as it turns out, there's no law against democratizing something like the NPA system.
I don't understand what that means, democratizing mind control?
It's simple, Elvis. If a Scion tells you to remove your clothing against your will, that Scion has broken several laws. However, there's absolutely nothing in legislature saying that you can't set up an NPA effect and then transfer the NPA to a third party. Lowry's observation is the more astute concern. Once you own the NPA, it becomes your responsibility to use it lawfully. You could, for example, purchase one of such helmets for yourself and use it as a study aid. You could leave a recorded message for yourself to spend the next hour studying your algebra homework without getting distracted. You can see that there's obvious benefits here, so you understand why we would expect lawmakers to stand aside and allow this technology to develop.
But what about him, though? The guy, Cog? He's not studying, he's
now, Cog, you could consider to be like a butler. We use the NPA system to make sure that he follows the orders that you expect him to follow, but he's signed a contract. He allows himself to be employed while under the effects of the NPA, and in exchange, he receives a reduced sentence for his criminal behavior. You'll find that this will hold water because he is exchanging labor for a material benefit expressed within the contract. Now, there are several provisions in that contract. You have to meet his basic human needs, such as food and water, and of course, medical care should he be injured in the line of duty. You will not intentionally send him on suicide missions or request that he conduct actions exceeding the standards of his job. It's also worth noting that he will be able to remember his time with you. So if you ask him to disrobe, just as normal, you may be in violation of certain laws. Imagine him as being like a private military contractor, but his pay is his freedom.
I mean, okay, then maybe it's legal, but it feels unfair.
I just explained to you his contract stipulates he gains a material benefit in exchange for his work. Cog Zero, would you please tell Elvis here what Cog stands for?
Criminal Opportunity Grant, he replies.
And what is that opportunity being granted to you?
Freedom, sir.
And how do you feel about this opportunity?
I prefer it to incarceration, sir.
There you are. If you want to know how he feels about it, you can ask, and he's compelled to give you an honest answer. Cog Zero was a military man, so he's already familiar with the concept of working under orders.
We felt he was an ideal candidate for our pilot program.
But you know it spells cog, right? Like a cog in a machine, isn't that?
Yes, you daft idiot, of course I know it spells cog! You think we couldn't come up with any other acronyms? I was the one who personally signed off on it. I thought it was clever.
It is clever. Kelvin, this is an amazing system. We could place this on anyone with whatever unique superpowers we need, and we could put it on Kimon, for example.
Where he's still with us. Doesn't work on the dead. Though it's worth noting that for the contract to be valid, your subject does need to get something, and it has to be signed willingly. You know, standard legal stuff. Zero here gave us informed consent, so Kimon would have to do the same.
I mean, employment for pay, that is a material benefit. And actually, about that, he just walked into the office just today.
Really? I thought he was as dead as a doornail. Well, if anyone should have to work under an NPA system, it would be him. And I'd be happy to set you up with a helmet for that, but you're concerned about liability, and so are we. In the labs, Zero has been pliant without being stupid. You compared him to a police dog earlier, and that's correct. Imagine a police dog that's more intelligent, understands English perfectly, and can coordinate with his handler. Furthermore, unlike the police dog, we can order Zero to study law until he reaches the standard expected of a police officer, and he'll genuinely sit down and study from dusk till dawn until he understands it. We know because we already got that part out of the way for you. We are fairly confident in the safety of the NPA system, but we're not willing to just go around placing it on everyone until we've seen Zero deployed to an actual mission.
Is everyone who needs to be on board for this, you know, from a higher level, are they ready for this to happen?
Everyone we need so far except for you, Lowry. You are now the face of Unstoppable Industries, one of the most trusted superhero companies in the country. With a good PR campaign and your sunny smile, I'm confident that people will see our way on this and be able to understand how valuable it is to call on our nation's superpowered resources even when they're connected to individuals we couldn't otherwise trust. Several important legislators have already made a few stock investments in anticipation of a bright future. So, it's all good.
You know what? All right. You send us your company's proposals and I'll have Snakeman look them over.
Lowry, not only are we about to defeat crime, we're about to turn it around and make it an asset to the city. Just you wait.
I hardly can, sir. I'm excited for the future.
You shake hands, and McDonald sees you out.
Lowry, I don't know if this is entirely ethical.
Which part? Saving lives by saving lives, or using criminals to stop crime?
The mind control part is what really gets me. I mean, he can call it by a different name, and he says it's legal, but I feel like it can't be. You know, it just can't be.
It's illegal for criminals to use their powers in illegal ways. Democratizing powers to be used in legal ways, however, by people like you and me. I think he's right. I don't think there's anything in the books against it.
I don't understand what it means when you say that we're democratizing this power. Who is voting?
George Washington.
But who?
It's the most basic American freedom that we have, Flux. If you like something, buy it. If you don't, don't. Every George Washington has a vote. You might be on the fence for how you want to vote, but my votes are to get this project running.
Well, I'm not on the fence. I say that we don't vote for it.
Yeah. Well, guess what? If we don't vote for this, another company will. And if it turns out that COG makes them more efficient and they earn more money because of the program, eventually they'll have more votes than we do. If the police, FBI, and military start using COG and we don't, they'll replace us, and then we won't have votes anymore. This is a chance to get in at the ground level. Do you want to control how this develops and be the person leading all the safeguards, making all the commentary on how it works, delivering testimonials on what's good or bad about it?
I guess, if it has to be someone, I guess I would rather.
Then vote smart. Vote on a winner. Come on, let's get back to the office.